Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mliwa Gabaza, and for today, we are going to be talking to one of South Africa's largest mobile operators, that is Cell C, a brand that likely needs no introduction. We all know what they do, what they're about. But more importantly, we're going to be just chatting about what their network strategy is, because they've been sort of going through a change in the last couple of years, mainly around how they're dealing with their network infrastructure, sort of choosing to go towards a model where they become a buyer of network capacity as opposed to investing in their own towers. And they've actually started part of that process, recently signing deals with some of the large operators so that they can continue servicing their customers. So we're here for an update. We're here to understand what the issues on the ground are, and to help us to unpack, we are joined by Skalk Visa, who is the Chief Technology Officer at Cell C, together with Simo Kize, who is the mobile operator's Chief Commercial Officer. So I think I'm just going to start with Skalk, since this is a very sort of technical sort of thing that's happening, and maybe understand, from his point of view, what's actually going on in terms of the decommissioning. Why are we decommissioning? What's actually led to us getting to this point? Skalk, greetings to you. And maybe as you sort of, begin that response, you could just tell us a little bit about what it means to be the CTO over at Cell C.
Thanks, Madiwa, and welcome to the rest of the listeners as well. Madiwa, I'm responsible for the technology side of the business. We look after the IT, the network, the core, as well as currently caretaking the wholesale environment. So from that basis, I believe, that covers what we do. If we come back to your question in terms of the status of the transition with our roaming agreement, it's a 3-year project, which we effectively started in January of this year, and we aim to complete this by December 2023. To date, we've decommissioned around 34% of our network, which is more or less 1,800 of the 5,500 sites that we had in the Cell C network. And we plan to do a further 10% of that in the next 6 months. So areas that's been completed to date is the Free State, Eastern Cape, and the Northern Cape. And areas that we plan to do this year is parts of the Western Cape, Northwest, Limpopo, KZN, and Mpumalanga. So the latter part of the project will focus on the current main metros, which is your Joburg, Pretoria, Cape Town, and Durban. The main reason for that is because we require our network infrastructure provider to do certain investments in those areas to activate the virtual radio network there. That's where we are from a progress perspective. And I would like to give Simo an opportunity to also give a view of what this actually means for our consumers, because I think that's why we're really doing this.
And in Simo, answering that question, maybe you could also maybe give us a sense of what actually, if anything, changes on the consumer side, because maybe someone might be listening and wondering, like, what is that going to mean? Is the top of my, phone still going to say Cell C in the corner? Like, what does it mean? Is my network quality going to go up, down? The things that consumers, usually worry about. And also, at the same time, when we say that you're the, chief commercial officer, what are we saying?
Good morning, good day, and good evening, dear, and to the listeners out there. It's a great opportunity for us as Cell C to chat about our exciting network strategy, which Skalk has highlighted that we are well and underway with the transition plan. But from a commercial side, maybe starting about what we do in commercial at Cell C. So as a chief commercial officer, I'm responsible for the sales side of the business, which is all our sales channels. We're responsible for our product development, marketing of our product, as well as running the retail operations of the business across our owned environment in terms of stores, as well as the channels that we work through our partners. So that's effectively really just the go-to-market side of the business and taking our product and services to our consumers out there. So what does this transition mean for our customers? So both our prepaid and MVNO customers will be transitioned as part of this process, and all of them will be experiencing a like-for-like quality experience in terms of the network with what our network partners have to offer. So this is quite great and exciting for our customers because, you know, in areas where we previously may have had inferior quality network, this will improve quite significantly. But also it affords us an opportunity really to focus on championing innovative services and products which are driven from our core side of the network, where we're going to be developing these products and being able to focus our investment in creating these types of services. So it's a win-win for our customers. They're going to be getting great network experience, and they're going to be getting a whole lot of exciting new products and services that are going to be coming their way. But also even better is that this transition process is seamless from a customer perspective. Customers don't need to do anything on their devices. They would be transitioned seamlessly, and they won't have to make changes or actually have to feel that today the only thing that they would experience is the better and improved quality in certain areas. And also on the top right-hand corner or left-hand corner of your device where you see the network, that will continue to be a Cell-C network that they will be seeing on their devices.
Now, thanks for that, Simo, and at least giving us the clarity, because you know, most of the time when we hear some of these things, one actually wonders what does it mean on the ground, especially, you know, for consumers that might not necessarily be technical. They usually say that the best type of technology is that which just disappears in the background. Things just work, and there's that seamless handover that's happening in the background, and, you know, consumers just know that Cell-C is giving them that service. Skalk, one of the things that I'm sure you're probably tired of being asked by now, right, is what is the difference between what you guys are doing now versus what an MVNO does? An MVNO being a mobile virtual network operator, the likes of FNB Connect, I think Virgin Mobile, you know, Mr. Price Mobile, etc., that are actually all on Cell-C's network, you know. So maybe you could give us that distinction, because that really does seem to be a point of contention. A lot of people in the market saying that Cell-C is becoming a super MVNO.
No, thanks, Madiwa, and thanks for the opportunity to clarify that. You're right, it's been a question many times. But yeah, it's always good to give customers and the industry just clarification on what it actually means for us. So as a mobile network operator, we will remain responsible and in control of our spectrum license, our core network, our transport network, our billing systems, as well as our subscriber management systems. One analogy that I think is actually nice for customers to try and understand it better is to use the analogy of a tree. Now, if you look at a tree, it's made up of its roots, the tree stump, the branches, the leaves. And what we're effectively doing with this network transition is we're virtualizing these leaves. So that's the simple part of what it is. Now, a radio access network, typically the portion that we're virtualizing, that the listeners would understand and have seen in the past, are these sites that are standing next to the highways with the antennas, the radio equipment, those big boxes at the bottom where all the equipment are stored in. All of that is what we are virtualizing. The rest remains in place. So if you then compare that to an MVNO, like you mentioned, FNB Connect, the difference here is that they don't have a radio network, they don't have spectrum, they don't have a core network, they don't have a transport network. In some cases, they have a billing system like FNB. They are non-hosted MVNO, so they've got their own billing system. But on the other side, we have MVNOs for which we host or we provide the billing. So yeah, that's the basic difference between a MNO and an MVNO and why we are definitely still a MNO in the market.
And perhaps as a follow-up to that one, Skalk, because we understand there are agreements that SASE has in place because, you know, having previously engaged with your CEO, Douglas Craigie Stevenson, it sounds like the company is sort of moving towards becoming a purchase of capacity on networks. And I understand there's an agreement with Vodacom in place, there's an agreement with South Sea. Maybe if you could talk to us about what the difference is between those two agreements, if anything.
Yeah, that's also a very good question, Diwa. If you look at the two roaming arrangements, let's start with MTN. MTN is a MOCN type roaming arrangement. And that basically enables us to have a virtual radio network on their physical infrastructure. If you compare that then to the roaming arrangement that we've got with Vodacom, Vodacom is a traditional roaming arrangement. So the difference is if they have the core, they have the radio side, and we just have if a customer roams on Vodacom, he will see Vodacom on his mobile device because he is physically on the Vodacom radio network, and there's no virtual radio network for Cell C on Vodacom. On MTN side, as Simo said earlier, you will see Cell C in the top right-hand corner or left-hand corner, depending on your device, on the mobile device, and that means and shows you that you're on the virtual radio network with MTN, which is enabled through the MOCN technology.
Okay, I think, okay, fine. That helps us a little bit. One is sort of the traditional roaming, and then the other one is on the side of, the second one is more on the side of virtualizing the radio access network. Simo, because we are a business platform, we have to understand, you know, maybe some of the economics that are behind, you know, all of this. My understanding is that most of the time when you're building these towers, there's billions that are being spent left, right, and center trying to put up these things. So I guess the question is more, does this mean you guys, it's cheaper to run Cell C, or do you sort of just have your costs structured in a different way? Because I'm sure that there still needs to be payments that are being made to the likes of Vodacom and MTN for what's actually going on.
That's correct. I think the difference here is that when you build your own network, obviously your costs are capitalized. So you've got a capex investment. And then when you actually in the situation or structure that we're in, where you actually are have a virtual network or a roaming network arrangement, you have variable cost, which you pay for what you use. What this actually means in two parts, maybe to try and explain it. If we had gone with the route of trying to build a network to get a like for like, we would have to invest probably in about 20 years of investment in order for us to catch up with where our competitors are in terms of number of sites and the equivalent quality that they have on the networks. So as a result of what we've done, we immediately within 3 years would have caught up in terms of a like-for-like quality as well as coverage that we provide to our customers. But what that does also for Cell C is as we become a capex light model, we are able to restructure or redirect our investments to focus on building a digital ecosystem for our customers, where we're focusing on building products that will actually create a new lifestyle for our customers, where they'll be able to not only see Cell C as a telco provider, but becoming a digital lifestyle provider of services that our customers would be using to integrate or to, within this digital ecosystem, whether they are consuming data, they are consuming content, or whether they are actually doing transactions, whether it is financial services or even in other areas of digital content that they want to consume?
You know, one of the things that you sort of hear about a lot over the last couple of months is this issue of spectrum. But at the same time, what you, Simo, and Skalk are talking about is a lot of, you know, network sharing. And those are two things that I'm quite keen to get, you know, some of your thoughts on. You know, maybe starting with Simo, since you're already there with us, is to say, you know, when it comes to spectrum, how are you guys maybe looking at or thinking about, you know, spectrum? Because we were meant to have an auction earlier this year. That didn't happen. There's a lot of litigation that's going on, digital money, all of these things that are sort of holding the country back. You know, maybe you could share with us, you know, your thoughts from a CELC point of view, or what's the thinking?
So I won't go into details or touch on the what our competitors may currently have been involved in terms of legal issues with the regulator. But what I can say is that spectrum is a very critical resource in driving our digital strategy as a network operator and as a digital provider of services to our customers in, you know, going into the future. If you look at it, you know, technology is important in enhancing our customers' lives. You know, in the digital era that we live in right now, a lot of people are consuming more and more services virtually, whether it's education, whether it is financial inclusion, and even for entertainment, especially in the context of the time now where we have the pandemic. So it is, the spectrum is a great enabler in ensuring that South Africans are able to access these digital services. So as CELC, we have a very big interest and an interested party in, you know, in the spectrum. And we will indeed be happy to participate. But obviously, it is quite important that, at the right cost and the barriers into entry, you know, in this case, are being taken care of in making sure that all interested parties are able to participate in getting a fair allocation of the spectrum.
And then, Skalk, I'm just going to ask you, when it comes to spectrum, sort of more interested not in the allocation part that Simo has just addressed, but when it comes to this decommissioning that's happening and the move towards infrastructure sharing, I think one of the, you know, parts that some people understand or others don't understand is how is it that you guys are able to use your own spectrum on someone else's network infrastructure?
Yeah, thanks, Madiba. I think that's mainly as a result of advances that we've seen in technology. And that comes back to the MOCN technology specifically used in our roaming arrangement with MTN. So what that enables is, what that enables MTN to do is to create this virtual radio network on their physical infrastructure, transmitting our spectrum. So, and just to add on to what Simo was saying, spectrum is a critical resource for any MNO. The only difference between us and other MNOs are that we've got a virtualized radio network where others has got a physical radio network. But spectrum remains important.
And maybe as a quick follow-up, has what CELC is doing from a technical point of view, has that been done in other parts of the world? Because I'm sure that in terms of the rationale, there must have been some research done, use cases, case studies, etc.
Yeah, there's definitely an element of it that's been used in other parts of the world. But that's typically supported in a way that a mobile operator would still build in certain areas and then leverage off this technology in more rural areas. What we've found is that if we were to continue down that road, we would never have been able to catch up with the likes of MTN and Vodacom. So we had to find a different way of doing it, and hence the roaming arrangements that we put in place. So on this scale that we're doing it, in terms of switching off our entire radio access network, to my knowledge, it's the first one in the world.
It sounds like people will be studying this as the case study going forward. And then Simo, when it comes to CellC as a brand, I guess from the consumer side, how are you feeling from that point of view? Because we're having a very technical conversation about radio access networks. We're talking about spectrum, gigahertz, and all of this stuff. But I guess from your engagement of what you're seeing out there, the actual customers that you deal with, how concerned are they, or are they just more worried about, okay, fine, as long as I can pick up my phone, send a text, make a call, get on the internet?
The very interesting part, a very exciting part for us, is that we've already picking up very good feedback and from our customers in the likes of the Free State, as well as the Eastern Cape, as well as new customers in those areas who are experiencing a much more improved quality of network. So this has moved from being what I'll call a technical and academic conversation, but to being a really practical consumer experience that our customers are feeling out there in the ground. So there's a great excitement about that. But also what we've been able to do is to say to our customers, we are able to deliver products now that we had not been able to do before that actually excite our customers. I mean, our new Home Connector and Home Connector Flexi prepaid broadband product is actually we are able to deliver this because of the technology or the new network arrangements that we have, at this stage. And lastly, the last point to touch about from a brand positioning perspective is that we have a new brand campaign which actually launched this week, which is really designed to show our customers that we have actually shifted from a network perspective, highlighting the benefits. Is actually really saying to our customers, we are on a journey to bring them the best quality network at the most affordable prices. So that is something that kicked off this week. It's exciting. It's both on digital platforms as well as the outdoor media will be launching in the next couple of days. So be on the lookout for it. I think it will be quite interesting for customers to link what they're experiencing and what we actually are talking about in our campaign.
Simo, one of the other things that I can anticipate that customers or consumers listening right now would be interested in or would think about, because you've mentioned it a few times during this conversation, is this issue of affordability and pricing. And someone might be saying, okay, cool, there's all of this stuff happening in the background, is it going to affect my pocket, the price of data, the price of voice minutes, any of that? Is that going to go up, down? Like, how is it affecting me from that point of view?
So affordability, affordable products is what we are really driving into the market. If you look at, I mentioned earlier on our Home Connector and Home Connector Flexi products, which is a broadband connectivity product. They are designed to give customers, whether it is at the bottom of the a pyramid a spectrum of the customer or a top-end high-value customer, we are delivering a prepaid product which affords them an opportunity to have home Wi-Fi or be able to use broadband data at the most affordable prices. This product starts at 59 Rand for 10 gigs and go up to 1 terabyte, which is almost an equivalent of an unlimited product at 899. So when you look at the bottom end of the smallest product, it is very aggressively priced and affordable, as well as you look at the other end of the spectrum, the pricing is also very attractive. And there are a couple of other bundles in between that actually is a one proof point among some of the products that we've brought into the market in the last 6 months that show that we are taking full advantage of being this aggregator of traffic to bring the best value to our customers.
Now, we wait to see how all of that is going to happen, especially as you guys, continue to decommission and implement the strategy more and more. As we head on into sort of rounding up this discussion, Skalk, maybe you could give us some thoughts, because We've spoken a lot about, network infrastructure sharing, especially on cell phone towers, and, you know, how that's likely to be, you know, the way forward for, you know, Cell C. This is what you guys have committed to. But I was just also interested as a geek to maybe get your thoughts, around things like fiber. You know, how is Cell C thinking about things like fiber?
Madiwe, I think fiber is, in our minds, very important. And the reason for that being, and that we touched on it, I think you actually asked the question earlier in terms of data and what customers are using data for. What we see is that customers don't really care anymore if they connect via a Wi-Fi hotspot at a coffee shop, or when they come into their house, they've got either a fiber solution there or they've got a home connector flexi there, as long as they can consume the service that they are interested in. So from that perspective, I think there's definitely, it's definitely important for us, the fiber and the angle that we're using there, partnering with also, again, the big infrastructure providers on the fiber side. But that is complemented by the mobile data products that we offer over our virtualized radio network.
All right. Okay. No, I see what you're saying from that point of view. So on the last point, because, you know, it's actually been, you know, quite a cool discussion, understanding what's actually going on, is taking a step back, not only at Cell C, but looking at the wider industry, or just looking at trends, because over the last year, I think Simo mentioned it earlier that people are connecting more. People want education, they want entertainment, all of the stuff that's happening online. Given everything that's happened, maybe you could each give us some observations just from what's happened during COVID-19, because that's resulted in, you know, a lot of changes, especially in, you know, telecoms. You know, I'm more interested in, from all the changes that have happened, you know, what do you guys anticipate is actually going to stay with us? Because there's the things that sort of happen and people react, you know, like, let's say working from home, you work from home because right now you have to work from home. But if you have the ability to go to work, you know, some people will choose to do that. So I guess it's a more a question around which of the changes that you've seen over the last year do you think is going to actually stick with us, you know, going forward, or, you know, what are you seeing as being a trend, you know, going forward? I'll start with Skalk and then hear from Simo.
Thanks for doing that. Yeah, I think what COVID has taught us is that there's a lot of things that we thought could never be possible that became possible within a matter of weeks, in terms of working completely remotely, entire organizations moving offsite and performing the same functions that did at office as well as at home then. And that was enabled through technology. It was enabled through the MNOs, specifically in South Africa, being able to provide that connectivity to their customers, the required bandwidth, the required latency, that they could perform their daily functions. I do not think we will ever, given the world, South Africa, I don't think we will ever go back to everybody being back at the office 100%. I think what we've realized through this experience is that you can function in a hybrid manner. Yes, you still need people-to-people or person-to-person engagement, which is good for any organization, but you can balance that with the rest of, call it a lifestyle, to still be able to do your work and spend time with your family and do what you did before. So it's definitely accelerated the country into a new position, which we thought was going to take years. But yeah, no, definitely something to stay in my mind.
No, definitely. Thank you so much for that, Skalk. Simo, your take?
So I'll focus a little bit more on the consumer behavior that we've seen. I think what COVID has done to consumers is that obviously there's unfortunately been changes in work patterns. Other than just the work from home, there's also been instability in some forms of work. So some people who used to have formal employment unfortunately no longer have formal employment, and some people have got a very fluid type of employment. So customers or consumers are looking for that similar kind of flexibility. Consumers are no longer prepared to commit maybe to a 2-year contract or from a perspective of securing devices and securing the services. So what we have done as a business is to understand this consumer need and be able to, more than just providing quality and affordable prepaid services, we've also been able to provide what we've called flexible contract products, such as month-to-month contracts, which enable customers to still be able to procure a device, procure services, but have the flexibility to adapt up or adapt down depending on their work as well as their income situation at any given point in time. And then lastly is that we have seen the consumption of data per consumer increase quite drastically, because obviously conversations such as these, which are meetings held over Teams and Zoom products, consumes data, but also people are choosing to consume entertainment at home. Kids in certain families are studying from home, and all of these have increased the overall data allocation or data consumption per subscriber. And for us as MNOs, it's quite important to be able to look at that trend and then package products that are affordable and meets the consumer needs. And I think we are in track to delivering these types of products as SLC.
So that's been us. We're talking to Simo Mkhize, who you've just heard from. He is the Chief Commercial Officer over at mobile operator Cell C, together with Skalk Visser, who is Chief Technology Officer. We're having a conversation about Cell C's shifting network strategy. It's a process that they've been in for some time now, and they've actually been doing a lot of work just coming up with that strategy, but now they've reached that implementation stage, and they've been able to start decommissioning a number of their towers in places like the Eastern Cape. And Simo telling us that they're already receiving good feedback from their users, because they are experiencing those changes in the quality of the experience. And he's actually saying that this move will give them a little bit more flexibility, because you're sort of now paying more for what you use as opposed to putting down capital expenditure, and it would have taken them much longer to catch up to the type of footprint that that network operators Vodacom and MTN have. And we also heard from Skalk, who really took time to actually talk to us about what's actually happening, some of the technical bits. And I really like the fact that he was able to explain what's actually happening in really relatable ways. I really took in the analogy of the tree that he was using. He said that there's their roots, their trunks, there's the trunk, their branches, and then the leaves. What they're simply doing is to virtualize the leaves, and also just providing clarity just around why they are still a core network operator as opposed to being a mobile virtual network operator. And then towards the end, it was good to just get some thoughts. Skalk just saying that we're likely to continue with some type of a hybrid going forward. That's going to be a fundamental shift, and that's going to likely demand even more connectivity. And in the same breath, Simo just saying the fact that there has been that increase in data usage from on the consumer side, and that's likely to be something that's going to be with us for years to come.
This is Mudiwa's Tech.
Telecoms operators are changing. That is a sort of undeniable sort of trend in South Africa right now. If we look at what Vodacom and MTN together with Telkom were maybe a decade or two ago, it's completely different to what we're seeing now. And that's the same as what we're seeing with Cell C, about two decades in the game now, and they've decided that they're going to switch up their network strategy, because when you look at the amounts of money, I think Vodacom and MTN are spending, and at some point were spending an average of about 8 to 10 billion rand every single year building up their network. So they've really become the infrastructure kings. But one of the big trends that I think we should be keeping an eye on going forward is how telecoms operators are really trying to shift perception on themselves and also, you know, how they perceive themselves, because over the years, they would use terms like telecoms operator, mobile network operator, mobile provider, all of these terms. But in the last year or two, you've sort of started hearing a lot of telecoms companies making this shift, particularly in this market, that shift where they now want to be known more, not as telcos or telecommunications companies, but more like techcos or technology companies. You've heard that coming from Vodacom, we've heard it coming from MTN, and we also hear it coming from Cell C as well. Telkom is almost in the same boat because they were a fixed line operator, and then they've now shifted to becoming a, you know, a business that's receiving more money from the mobile business. And I'm pretty sure that they are making all of those shifts to become technology companies, because they do realize that one of the big things when it comes to technology players, when you think of the likes of Facebook, Google, Amazon, Apple, etc., is you need scale. All right. And a lot of the time when you talk to startups and entrepreneurs, founders, etc., one of the things that people tend to struggle with in the technology sector is reaching scale. And by scale, we're talking about having a lot of customers or having a lot of users, because with certain types of products, you need a certain number of users for it to be economically feasible. And usually those types of numbers run into the millions. So when you think about the fact that you have Vodacom with 44 million users, MTN with 29, close to 30 million, I think Telkom 15, and then Cell C at around 12 million. All of the mobile operators have scale, and that's a big advantage for them. And it means they are able to launch new services that immediately have a large potential audience or a large potential user base. So that might be something that we look out for going forward. When it comes to network sharing, it really does seem as if that's likely going to be the way that things are going forward, where you have, you know, one or two established players in a market, and then, you know, everyone else comes in and sort of rents out the infrastructure that's already there, because at the end of the day, these guys did put down the money to build out those networks, so they do need to be paid, you know, what's due to them. But we will likely see a shift towards, you know, competition on services. And that's been a big message coming out from the likes of Cell C and Telkom, that this thing of services is the big thing. And I guess that also ties in with that point around that shift from being a purely telecoms operator to being a technology company, because you're sort of engendering that sense, you know, that you are going to be competing on different types of, on different metrics, different types of business models. So exciting time to see, especially, you know, for African telecoms operators. They do have that opportunity where they can come in and fill in a lot of the gaps, as we've seen in the likes of mobile payments that, you know, are lacking in their various markets. So really good to see, and it will be interesting to get, you know, an update later on from the likes of Simo and Skalk. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.